You just heard Borderline by Andrew Ciáñez de la O. And now it's time to check in with the playwright. Andrew, how does it feel to have your play broadcast over the radio?
Honestly, so surreal.
And this isn't the way it was going to be, right? Like, this is completely new to all of us.
Yeah, completely new. It was such an amazing challenge.
So how did that news come down to you? Because originally, this was a festival that is going to take place on the stage, which is something that we are all used to. But at what point in the process was it, oh, guess what? That's not what we're going to do.
Yeah. And, you know, it was so heartbreaking getting the news that they were going to be postponing. I think that was the language around the time. You know, it's still going to happen. We'll find a way. But it was so heartbreaking because everyone hopes to get their work shown at home. You know, I'm so far away. And I was so excited. But then a couple months after the festival was postponed, they reached out and said, hey, we've got an idea. We're thinking of making it a radio presentation. Would you be interested in adapting your play for that format? And I immediately said yes. There was no hesitation.
So was Borderline the play you were going to write for the stage as well? Is this the storyline that you had in mind?
Yeah, Borderline is a completed play already. It was written back in 2017, and one of the other playwrights in the festival, Georgina Escobar, who also directed this excerpt, had seen it at a festival about a year ago, and we've been trying to find a way to bring it to El Paso because that's exactly the audience that it's for. So it's already a written play, and the challenge was, how do we present a short snippet of it for radio? It's a delicate balance of trying to share the heart of the play while also making sure you're catering to an audience that's listening to it.
So how do you think you did?
I think it came out pretty well, and the cast was amazing, and it was, of course, such a pleasure to work with Georgina. And I have a podcast background, so I do have a little bit of experience with writing for audio, but this is the first time I've had to adapt something that I've already written, so that was fun.
Well, you know, it's new for us too. And I gotta say, y'all did a great job, you know, with the sound engineering and really thinking about this for the radio audience. So, I mean, hats off to you for the quick pivot and then for making it really good. You should feel really good right now.
No, thank you so much.
You are currently living in Boston, but you're from here. Will you tell us about your background and how you've come full circle this little time around?
Yeah, I'm from El Paso, born and raised. I went to El Dorado High School, and I came to Boston for college. I attended Emerson College for my Bachelor of Fine Arts, and I've sort of been up here ever since. I graduated back in 2017, but all of my work, the majority of it, takes place in El Paso. I can't get away from that desert, and I don't want to. I love so much about writing about the borderlands and our desert community, and it's exactly at the heart of my work.
And it's so important that you keep that going out there, because I think there's an idea of what this place is versus what it actually is, and it's neat that you're using your voice and your art to make sure people know what's up.
One specific memory I have from college and talking about the way that the borderlands is sort of represented is that my college had a voluntourism project where they take students to El Paso. And I went to a presentation because I wanted to learn more about what they were doing. And the way the city was presented as this sort of war-torn, impoverished, like, city that is in desperate need of help, which I understand the sentiment and you're trying to convince students to go, but I was seeing my home presented in a way that it's never looked like for me.
Yeah, that's like, oh, hell no, you didn't.
No, exactly that. And I remember raising my hand and saying, hey, I'm from El Paso. Like, can you tell me more? And the panic that I saw on the presenter's face. And I wasn't trying to cause a scene, but it's interesting seeing the way El Paso is viewed by the actual outside of it.
Let's go inside. Let's talk about your play. Before we recorded, you know, we talked about what are the themes that we want to make sure that people talk about. And you said something really interesting. I'll let you tell me that.
Yeah, my quick pitch for this play is that it's a ghost story. It's about the ghost stories that we tell young children to scare them, to get them to do the things we need to do, but also to teach quick life lessons. So in this play, the children run into a creature that represents the Border Patrol. They run into this chupacabra-like creature, green and scaly. And the idea is how do you present this concept of the Border Patrol, a potential risk in their lives? How do you present that to younger audiences in a sort of palatable way? So at its heart, Borderline is a ghost story, and it's meant to get younger audiences prepared for some of the harsher realities that will come up in life.
Speaking of those harsh realities, I think our parents spend a lot of time trying to keep us innocent as long as they can. Once you're hit with those realities of life, they can't be unseen. Like, I think there's a moment where the world turns.
And I remember that exact moment for me. It's when I confirmed that I was going to be going out of state for college, that I was leaving the Southwest. And that was the moment where I started getting that conversation like, hey, Mijo, listen, like, you know, you're going to look different. You're going to be different and you're going to be treated differently. And you sort of hype yourself up for that. Like, I went out there knowing like, I'm going to be minority. I'm ready for it. But it sort of sneaks up on you in different ways that you're not expecting, from side glancers or conversations or sort of like a presentation about your home that isn't really about your home.
So what's that been like? I mean, you're experiencing it and you were mentally prepared for it.
It was difficult, especially because I went to college to be an actor. It was my passion at the time. I had done it for the entirety of my time at high school. But I very quickly realized that the American theater is very whitewashed. My college itself wasn't really presenting roles that I ever saw myself in. And it got to the point where I decided acting isn't for me. Like, right now in my life, what I want is to be represented. And the only way that was going to happen is if I started writing. So I pivoted my senior year of college, took as many writing courses as I could, and I've been writing ever since.
That's amazing. And you know what? That's exactly the way to do it. We're having some breakthrough. I think of like Latinx writers, like the show Vida, you know, and like the kind of like true representation of, hey, you know, this is who we actually are. And those little glimmers of opportunity seem to be happening. Are you feeling that yet? Or, I mean, I know it's not an easy path that you've chosen.
Yeah, it's definitely difficult and it's not without its concerns. I never know whether a project of mine is going to go anywhere. I can write a play that I think is amazing, that represents El Paso and its people, but is anyone ever going to see it? That's sort of the question I struggle with a lot. And you're right, we do have more and more shows, Vida, Gentified most recently, One Day at a Time. Like, these are amazing shows, but the problem we're seeing is that these shows have amazing one or two seasons, and then they're canceled. So it's about how to find that longevity. And I always will watch those shows, and I'll always make sure that I give them my viewership to support them. And that's what I want to do. And I do want to get into television writing. So I hope that there's a future for our stories. And more, if you would ask me the same question 10 years ago, I wouldn't have been sure. But now there are so many platforms, there are so many avenues to share our stories. I just know it will happen one way or another.
And what about the opportunity to get back on the stage? I mean, I know you said, I'm going to focus on writing, but would you ever act again? I mean, is it dead completely, or what's in your brain?
I'm finding my ways to sneak back into it. I have a podcast background, mostly writing, but I've started auditioning and doing some voice acting work. So it's a great way right now to do some acting while working remotely, but I'll definitely find my way back.
So what would you say to other Latinx youth growing up here in El Paso that have that dream, you know, of becoming an actor, of becoming a writer, of being a performer? What do you say to those kids? Because they're here and they're listening.
I would say, don't be afraid to take up space. I think that's a lesson I wish I had learned a little earlier in college. I never wanted to be the person that caused problems or to stir things up. But I think if I had been more comfortable taking up the space that I definitely deserved, then maybe I would have found my way here a little quicker. Take advantage of the resources while you can. Do your best. And if you don't feel like you're being represented, find your way in. And that might mean writing your own show, producing your own show, but get it out there, because that's the best thing you can do for yourself.
That's amazing advice. And you know what? You're so right. When you claim your space, everybody around you adapts. They adapt. So don't be scared to do that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The worst thing you can do is stay in the shadows.
And here we are talking about a ghost story. It was so dark. Like, I had the feelings. I had all of the Llorona and then, you know, Chupacabra. I had all of those feelings. It all came back. Why do you think we use horror as like wives' tales, especially in our culture?
It's a great way to keep children inside. You tell them La Llorona's out there, the Chupacabra's going to get you, and you know they're going to listen. They're going to grow out of it eventually, but you can use it as a way to teach a lesson. Fear is a great motivator, and it's also a great teacher.
Well, I tell you, you did a wonderful job. You should be so proud of Borderline. Where, when, if, how do we get to experience Borderline in its entirety?
Well, I'm hoping to get a production in El Paso soon. So I have my fingers crossed for that. Outside of there, I'm hoping I can find a home for it audio-wise. So hopefully it'll come to everyone's ears soon.
I love it. Well, congratulations. It was awesome. And you have the distinguished pleasure of having been the first of the series during this month. So congratulations. You should feel really, really good about what you've done.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Today, my guest has been Andrew Ciañez de la O, playwright, author of Borderline. Thank you for coming to State of the Arts.